Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, you've heard me say it. You've seen it on the bulletin cover, that sign and the words. And perhaps you even noticed the street sign there, Crossroads. Besides the counseling organization, which may come to your mind immediately here in Frankenmuth, which St. Lawrence has a privilege to be part of, what else comes to your mind when you hear the word crossroads? You know, we all experience them. You know, we may be going on our way and everything's just going great. The sun is shining on our path. We're enjoying the blessings that God gives us. And then all of a sudden, there's a crossroad. A choice. Maybe a very difficult choice. Which way do we go? Do we go right? Do we go left? Do we go straight? Do we turn around and go back? We would love to know what weighs down each of those directions, wouldn't we? So that we could then be able to choose the one that is going to be the best. We consult our hearts. We consult our minds, which one makes logical sense. We talk with other people, perhaps. But most of all, I think we want to do what God wants us to do. Well, crossroads can be a time of growth, but they can also be a time of pain. In fact, spiritual crossroads can be some of the most painful of all. They may drive us to our knees. The man we're going to talk with this evening is one who is very familiar with crossroads throughout his life. King David. You know his story. You've heard it. He was grow up as the shepherd son of Jesse. But then he was the one who killed Goliath with a sling and a stone. And then he rose in popularity and in authority and eventually became king, as you know. He was one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. He was a military guy. He was a soldier. He was a warrior, even violent. But yet he was also known for being a musician and a poet. And we have many of his psalms in our book of Psalms that we still read today. And as you read some of those psalms, you maybe pick up on some of the emotion that David went through when he faced some of those crossroads. When he faced a crossroad when his enemies would be coming at him, he wrote about those things. And even when his own family turned on him to overthrow him, he wrote about those things. But perhaps the most passionate, the most powerful, those psalms, like the ones we heard already tonight, those came when he came to some of those spiritual crossroads in his life. And so tonight we have a privilege. I told you to remember to use your imagination before. We have the privilege of welcoming to our humble church King David, everybody. Let's give him a welcome hand from... It's not quite the Tonight Show music, but, you know, King David, this is amazing to see you. My goodness.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I just flew in from Jerusalem, and boy, are my arms tired. My jester told me that one.
Yeah. Well, have a seat. Good to see you. As I was just saying to our friends here, they know quite a bit of your story from the scriptures, but I think it would be great for you if you'd just be able to share a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. Well, I was king in Israel for many years, coming on 40 years. I was chosen while I was yet a youth, but that didn't guarantee anything. I still had to struggle to possess my throne. I had to evade the murderous threats of King Saul, escape from the camp of my enemies, fight bloody battles, outwit opponents, stand against the plots of evil men. That's just the start of it. I was king, but it just wasn't easy. I could never have done it alone.
Okay, so if you didn't do it alone, then who would you say was with you?
Well, I had God with me. And that sounds kind of arrogant. I was with God. Let's say I was on his side, not vice versa. I cherished his love for me, his protection, his guidance. Many times I came to the point of despair about the evil around me, the threats on my life, even rebellion by my own sons, Absalom and Adonijah. But God stood with me almost all the time.
Okay, well, I think you know what question I'm going to ask next in light of what you just said. You said almost all the time. So have you also felt that there were times where God abandoned you?
No, he never left me. I left him. Like a faithful shepherd, he was always there, always waiting, always seeking me out, always calling me back, always keeping me safe, except when I chose to follow my own sinful way.
You? I mean, you're a king. It doesn't seem possible that you would have followed your own sinful sin. Weren't you a man after God's own heart? Isn't that what we've read? And that and that you had all the advantages, the power, the kingdom, the blessings of God. I mean, it almost seems impossible to me that you would have pursued your selfish ways.
It was too possible. Too possible. I serve a great God, but I'm not always a good person. I tend to be full of myself. I tend to think that I'm king. I'm the problem solver. I can do it all. And then I start to hear the praises of my people. I love it. I believe it. I tend to turn my way.
Okay, so what do you mean by that? Turn your way.
Let's say those crossroads. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The crossroads, those times when we have to make decision, times of choice. Sometimes it's just too easy to choose the path that seems to be calling, that seems convenient, that seems satisfying, that just seems natural.
I don't suppose you'd be able to give us an example of something like that?
To my shame, I once had a man murdered so I could take his wife. I know that sounds horrible. It was. It was horrible, but at that time, my eyes saw something that I thought would bring happiness and contentment. And at that crossroads, I chose what my eyes had seen, what my eyes wanted, what my heart desired, what my power allowed me to take. Follow your heart, they said. No, yeah, sure. My heart is full of sin and wickedness.
But you see, in our culture today, that's exactly the message that we often get. You do what feels right. You're encouraged to take what you can get, and you know what your power allows you to do, and so forth. And we're told that that's what is the secret of happiness. But that didn't make you happy.
The choice I made at that crossroad made me absolutely miserable. And then came the prophet Nathan. Talk about speaking truth to power. When the prophet Nathan came to convict me of my sin, to say, "You art the man," I was crushed. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. Something inside me rose up. I wanted to go on the defensive. I wanted to defend myself. I was king. I could have had his head. I wanted to go down the road of my own choice, which would have led to my own demise. Thankfully, God wouldn't let me.
He wouldn't let you. I thought we had choice or whatever. I mean, what do you mean?
Well, when I realized what I had done, now let's put it another way. When the prophet broke me down and I didn't fight back, I realized I had chosen my own selfish way. God put another crossroad in my path. He said, "Which way now, David?" He seemed to say, "Which way now will you choose? Yours or mine?" I was left on my knees. And you know, there on my knees, I decided, well, it wasn't really my decision. It was by God's grace that he led me to the path of repentance. There was nothing else to do. When I kept my sin inside me, when I refused to seek God's repentance, when I cherished sin in my heart, I suffered real pain. My bones wasted away through my groaning all night long.
And through this, you felt that God was at work there.
His hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as in the heat of summer, but here's the miracle. Here's the grace. I was not left on my knees in pain to suffer the result of my choice. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And he forgave the iniquity of my sin. And it didn't happen just once. Time and time again. Every time I got to the crossroad of my own foolishness, my weakness, my sinfulness, and I blew it, God was there to forgive. God was there to stand me up again and give me strength to choose his way. My own repentance was a gift of God's grace.
You know, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody put it that way, that that repentance is a gift of God. So that is very something, that to think that God is at work even in bringing us to our knees in repentance. So I think we could talk for hours, I'm sure, but I know you're a very busy and important man and have other appointments, I'm sure. So thank you so much for spending the time with us. And,
why, you're welcome.
And God's peace be with you.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's hear it for King David, huh? So hopefully, at some point in there, you were able to see yourself. I'm not sure how many of us could ever be in a situation as powerful as what the king was in. The scandal, the murder, the adultery, all of that. And yet, as he said, he was broken down. It was the Lord who brought him to his knees. And maybe that's the part we can relate to. Having made that choice that was the wrong direction. Having gone in a way that perhaps paid no attention to what God was telling us. But did you notice that even when he went the wrong way, God in his grace put another crossroad in front of him? It was a crossroad of whether he was going to, in fact, confess. Perhaps you notice those signs. If you're not able to see that, the one says confession. To be able to admit, to own up to say, I am sorry. I am sinful. But that's not the end of it. That crossroad also then presents us with the opportunity for the other word up there, namely repentance. Which means not just saying, I'm sorry, but then changing. Changing the mind is what the word technically means. Changing one's heart, changing one's direction. That if we're going in the wrong way, not just to say I'm sorry and keep going, but to turn around and go in the opposite way as God leads us. Repentance is a gift of God's grace. Ash Wednesday. We get ashes on our forehead. It reminds us of our mortality, of course, which in some ways sounds very bleak, where God said to Adam in the Garden of Eden, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But not only does it remind us of our sinfulness, it reminds us, or our mortality, it reminds us that we are marked by sin. We have that sinful nature with us always. And we will, throughout our life, there will be a constant reminder to us that there will be crossroad after crossroad after crossroad where sin would have us go in a different direction. But the reason that David could find hope? Well, these ashes Although eventually they may look like a smudge and they're going to get wiped off eventually, they are put on in the shape of a cross. Because it was only through the suffering and death of his Savior, Jesus Christ, that David, even then he didn't know his name, that David was ultimately forgiven. And that's why he could find hope and say, rejoice in me and create in me a clean heart, O God. That is the same crossroad and the same promise that God gives to you and me. In Jesus' name, amen. We worship the Lord with our offerings.